Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Really good to have you listening in. God's given us another great day to serve Him. Looks like the weather's really nice this morning. I think we're supposed to get some rain later on and maybe into tomorrow, which God also blesses us with and which we need. But we're thankful for the beauty of the morning and opportunity to study God's Word with you here on The Way That Leads to Life, and also an opportunity later on today to come together to worship God. We invite you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. It's just off Highway 31 North and not too far from the CVS Pharmacy. We invite you to be with us at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be coming together to praise God and worship Him, study His Word together, remember His Son. And we'd love for you to be with us 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be social distancing and wearing masks and all those sorts of things. Also, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we have an online presentation of a lesson at Eastside. You can catch that on our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ on Facebook, or on our website at eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Go to that website and just click on the media page and the live streaming, and you'll be able to see the lesson for tonight at 5. So if you'd like to be with us, we'd love for you to, and to remember God and glorify Him for all that He's done for us. Well, this morning I'd like us to consider some truths that we're going to find in the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. And if maybe if you're at home this morning and you have access to a Bible, you might grab that and look with me as we go into this psalm. It's really an amazing psalm in a lot of different ways. A lot of people know it as the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is that. It has 176 verses, so we won't be able to cover all of Psalm 119 this morning, but there's a special reason that I want to look at it. This psalm is a psalm all about God's Word, about how great God's Word is, how much we need it, and therefore how much we should desire it and read it and study it and meditate on it and live it out in our lives. But it's all a psalm in praise of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And I really think that's something that we're missing out on in today's society. I mentioned this in a lesson here on The Way That Leads to Life not too long ago, that most people really don't know much about the Bible, and it's so unfortunate. God's Word is such a powerful help to us. And Psalm 119 helps us understand that, helps us see how we should feel about the Word of God, our desire for it, our love for it, our desire to learn it, and to live it out in our lives. So as I said, the 119th Psalm is really an interesting psalm. In the Hebrew, the language in which it was originally written, it forms an acrostic. The first letter of the first verse starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And all of the first eight verses start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph. And then the second section begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Beth. And there's eight verses in a row that start with that letter. And then the third section, another eight verses, starts with Gimel, which is the ABC, would be the C in our alphabet, so to speak, but the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And those first eight verses start with that letter and goes all the way through pretty much like that. So you have these eight verse sections, basically 22 stanzas. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each line of, each stanza begins with the succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And basically what you've got then in this psalm is you have all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet sort of symbolizing in perfect form the perfect Word of God. And it's a sort of a really neat way that we have through inspiration where God's Word is being praised in its totality. In the 119th Psalm, the psalmist will say, "The entirety of your word is truth." All of this together, all of God's word is truth. So as I said, a psalm that I think we should pay attention to, has a great message for us, and I want to share some of that with you this morning. The other thing that we need to know about this psalm before we delve into it is, while it is talking about the Word of God throughout, the psalm does a number of synonyms for the Word of God, so it just doesn't repeat, you know, the Word of God, the Word of God, or the Word of the Lord. That phrase or those phrases are found quite a bit in Psalm 119, but through inspiration, the writer changes that up some and uses some synonyms, some words that mean pretty much the same thing for the Word of God. And so, for instance, you'll find the law being referred to, and the law is just the broad expression of God's word for man. You'll find the word testimonies. Testimonies are God's righteous witness. You'll find the word judgments. Judgments are, you know, God's pronouncements of right and wrong, his word about what's right and wrong. You'll find the word statutes, which are particular laws in the Word of God. You'll find the word ordinances, which are just ordained regulations from God's word. Precepts is another word for the Word of God that you find in Psalm 119. And precepts are just general rules or statements about conduct. You'll find the word commandments. You'll find the word promise. And you'll find the word way or ways. So these are all synonyms that we'll find in the 119th Psalm for the Word of God. But as I say, the entirety of this great psalm focuses on God's great word and our need for it in our lives. So let's start with that as a background, and then notice some things with me about what our attitude should be toward God's word. The first thing that we notice is that the author of this psalm has a great desire for the Word of God. He values it immensely. And so in Psalm 119 and verse 14, he'll say, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches." Now, that's valuing something, right? when you rejoice in God's word as much as in all riches, he says in the 72nd verse of the 119th Psalm, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold or silver." We can only imagine what thousands of coins of gold and silver would be worth at the price of gold nowadays. But the psalmist values God's word, the law of his mouth, better than thousands of coins of gold or silver. And then you see again in the 119th Psalm and verse 162, the psalmist here says, "I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure." So to the psalmist, God's word is ever so valuable. He delights in it then, when he can read it, when he can think about it, when he can live it out. It's not something that's arduous to him. It's not something that's a pain for him to do, but something that he really loves. See, his attitude toward this is so much different than so many people today, right? And that's what we want to look at. Why does he have this attitude? But notice the attitude first, how he just loves this. He loves God's word. He said in verse 16, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." And then in Psalm 119 and verse 24, he says, "Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors." So he goes to God's word because he delights in it and he can get counsel from the word of God. In verse 47 of Psalm 119, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love." I delight myself in your commandments, which I love. In verse 103, he'll go on and talk about this delight that he has for God's word. He says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I don't know about you, but I like honey, and I like it a lot, and the psalmist liked God's word a lot, right? So you can see that great delight. Well, where did that delight come from? Where did his value of the word of God come from, his sense of value of God's word? Where's that coming from? It's due to the fact that he understands the power of God's word and the blessings that can come from it. So let's look at some of those. We're going to start in Psalm 119 now, and look at verse 9. It says, ask a question first of all, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Young people, and people of all ages as far as that goes, make mistakes. We sully our lives. We do things that mess us up, make us black on the inside, dark and stained. And all of us, I think, who are of any level of maturity, wish for cleansing. We wish maybe that we hadn't committed the sin or made the mistake, and we wish that we could be cleansed from that. And what the psalmist is saying is that through God's word, we can find that cleansing by listening to God's word. That's so valuable to our souls, friends, to be able to find cleansing for the errors that we've made, for the sins that we've committed. But beyond that, beyond it providing cleansing for us, it can help keep us from sinning to begin with, from messing up our lives, from selling our souls by committing sin. And so in verse 11, the psalmist says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Wouldn't that be great if we could sin less and mess up less? The psalmist says that's what the word of God could do did for him. And then in Psalm 119 and verse 25, we find that God's word strengthens and revives us. In verse 25, he says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." And in verse 28, he says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." Have you ever been in a point in your life where you just felt like you were just laying in the dust or landed in the mud, and it was just such a low point in your life, you just didn't seem like you could get up? Many people in those kinds of situations have found that God's word helps them get up, gives them the strength to get up, clean themselves off, so to speak, and carry on. It revives them, gives them new life. You find that in God's word once you become familiar with it and know how to use it and apply it to your life. It's such a great blessing. I want to encourage those of you who may be listening this morning who are going through difficult times to recognize the power and strength that is in God's word to revive you and to help you through those difficult times and to lift you up when you're fallen. The psalmist recognized that. We also, in the Psalms connected to this, find that in Psalm 119 and verse 50, God's word comforts us in affliction. Here's what he says, Psalm 119 and verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." And then in verse 92 of Psalm 119, he'll say something pretty similar to that. Psalm 119 and verse 92, he says, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction." So similar to the previous verses that we looked at where God's word strengthens us when we've fallen down in the dirt, here, when we're afflicted, when we're going through hard times, God's word can help us get back on our feet. In fact, can keep us from perishing when we're down and out. God's word is such a strengthening and enlivening power. And once we come to understand that, again, it can be used to help us in so many ways in our lives. Another thing the Word of God does for us is it gives us an understanding of, the psalmist says, every false way. It helps us not make mistakes in life, not take paths that we don't want to take, that wind up leading us in some direction that is going to be detrimental to our lives or our souls or our loved ones. So in Psalm 119 and verse 104, the psalmist says, "Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." If you could know what the false ways were, right? If you could know what those were and know not to take them and not want to take them, what a great benefit that would be in your life. And the psalmist is telling you, that's what I get out of God's word. That's what I get out of his precepts. These guiding principles that we find in the word of God help keep us out of those false ways that lead to bad ends. And in verse 142, I'm sorry, Psalm 119 and verse 128 is where I am now. Psalm 119, verse 128, "Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and therefore I hate every false way." God's word can be relied upon as being right. It's not going to guide you wrong. It's not going to take you down a false way. God is right. He is righteous. He's the very definition of that. If we have a God at all who is anything like the God of the Bible, and we do have a God who is exactly like the God of the Bible, then we know that he is right. He is right. And his word will not steer us wrong. It will guide us in things that are right. What a great benefit that is in life. It sheds light, God's word does, on the proper path. Back in Psalm 119, we'd read verse 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." just so many times in life, we just don't know how to go or where to go, right? But God's word gives us understanding of right and wrong, shows us what the right way is, shows us the problems of taking the wrong way and what's involved in that. Just gives us such great guidance. If you look around you in your life, you probably know somebody who tries to guide their life by the word of God. And you'll find that from a personal perspective, while they may have problems and they may be afflicted at times and fall at times and all those sorts of things, that their life is taking a path that is typically way better than the typical life in the world. That comes from following God's word. That's the benefit of following God's word. And that's what the psalmist is trying to convey to us. He's experienced this. He's experienced the wonderful way that God guides him in life. All of this being true, the psalmist also says about God's word that it itself is pure and true. In fact, this is stated just a number of times in the 119th Psalm. We won't be able to look at all of them by any means, but in Psalm 119 and verse 140, your word is very pure, the psalmist says, therefore your servant loves it. It's hard to find anything that's pure nowadays in the way of the written word outside of God's word, for sure. So many things that we read or that are conveyed to us in the media have been mixed with other ideas, are not really pure, have some sort of ulterior motive to them, you know. But God's word is pure. It is pure through and through, and the psalmist loves it for that reason. In verse 142, he says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Now, here's where God's word helps us in a way that nothing else in this world does. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. We have such a problem with truth today, where a lot of people consider truth to be, you know, whatever their feelings are rather than whatever the facts are. A lot of people consider the truth to be whatever is reported, you know, in the news media or whatever it might be, or whatever the politicians tell them, whichever side of the political fence you're on. A lot of people consider truth to be what their own special news source tells them it is. And we find, if we're paying attention, that all of those sources of information don't give us the truth. I hope all come to realize that in the last decade or two. It's not really news when you think about it, that what we're hearing in the world isn't always the truth. It's been, you know, question, a rhetorical question we've asked for a long time is, well, do you believe everything you read in the newspapers? Of course, the newspapers aren't popular anymore, but the point is that saying's been around for a long time, that there have been a lot of things that have been reported in the press and by the media for decades and centuries that are plainly not the truth, but they've been reported as truth and accepted as truth. God's word is not like that. God's word is the truth every time. His word is truth. And if you want something that you rely on as being truth, that's God's word. We need that in our lives today. So as we go on in Psalm 119, we learn that the psalmist, because of all of these things, because God's word cleanses and it helps keep us from sin and it strengthens us and it gives us answers for deep questions, it comforts us, it gives us understanding of every false way, all of these things that we find out about God's word cause us to want to learn God's word. So let's look at Psalm 119 again, and I'm going back now to verse 18 of the 119th Psalm. Because of all that he said thus far, the psalmist then pleads with God, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. He wants to know what is in God's law. He wants, in fact, to be taught God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. In other words, teach me your laws. He wants to be taught God's word. In verse 26, he will say, I have declared my ways, and you have answered me, teach me your statutes. So he says virtually the same thing again. And in verse 33, he says, I will run the course of your commandments. You shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep them to the end. So he's just pleading with God to teach him his word, his law, his statutes, his testimony. And he says about his own desire to learn it in verse 123 of Psalm 119, he says, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. In other words, he's just like he's reading it or studying it or trying to find it all the time. We use our eyes for a lot of things nowadays. We you know, check our phones how many times a day. We watch television. We do this and that all the time. How much time do we spend really focused on trying to know God's word, trying to learn God's word? One of the things that we love to do at the Eastside Church of Christ is teach God's word. Even during the pandemic, we have done a good bit of teaching, some of it, a lot of it online, some of it in person in the building. Obviously, we're meeting for assemblies on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we're striving to teach God's word. When the pandemic eases up, we'll go back to our regular Bible class program where we try to teach God's word to our children in intensive ways. Right now, that's being carried on in the homes, as is good as well. But my point is that at Eastside, we have a great desire to know God's word and help people be taught God's word. And if you have that kind of a desire, we want to help you. We want you to get that teaching from God's word that you desire. And you can do it just by signing up, for instance, for a correspondence course. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, sign up for a free Bible correspondence course where you can learn the word of God in quite a bit of detail. We've got a course on the Gospel of Mark that'll take you through the Gospel of Mark in a great amount of detail and just share with you the story of the gospel from the time that Jesus began his ministry on to his death and resurrection and his wonderful things that he did in his life in the Gospel of Mark. And we'd invite you to go to eastside-church.org and just click on the Study at Home banner. And you can sign up for the Gospel of Mark. We have another correspondence course. You can take these courses either online or through the mail. We have another course called Jesus the Way, where you can learn about Jesus and the way to salvation. And we have a third course on the book of Acts that you can sign up for as well. So if you want to study God's word, if you love God's word and understand how valuable it is, like this psalmist did, we'd love for you to sign up for one of those correspondence courses and really dig into God's word with us. We encourage you to do that. The psalmist back in Psalm 119, he wants to be taught God's word. And once he's taught it, he wants to think about it. It's not just information that he learns and forgets, but information that he learns and remembers and thinks about and turns over in his mind so that he might apply it to his life. You see in Psalm 119 and down about Psalm 119 and down about in verse 15, he says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. He's not just, you know, learning it to take a test or something like that, like we did sometimes when we were in school and just crammed for a test and we spit it all out on the test and then we forgot it. But he's learning God's word to keep it in his heart and to apply it to his life is what you're seeing him say. He loves it. He wants to keep it. In Psalm chapter 119, in Psalm 119 and verse 23, he will say, your servant meditates on your statutes. In verse 48, he will say, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. And then all the way over in Psalm 119 and verse 148, he will say this, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. In other words, if he was laying awake at night, maybe not able to sleep, and maybe he's just awake on purpose because rather than, you know, doing something on his phone in the middle of the night, he's wanting to think about God's word. That's the psalmist. That's his appreciation for the word of God, and one which I wish I could instill in all of us today. This God's word is needed in this world today, and the psalmist understood that. He wanted to learn it. He wanted to be taught it. He wanted to keep it in his heart. And then he wanted to walk according to it. He wanted to live it out. It wasn't just information to him, but it was life-changing information. It was information that would guide his behavior and his speech. He starts the 119th Psalm, in fact, saying, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." So people that love God's word and appreciate it as the psalmist did, they're going to live it out in their lives. In verse 35 of Psalm 119, he says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." He wants to go the way the commandments are. Funny thing in the world today, you know, people that know a little bit about the Bible and what it says and what God is telling us to do in his word, don't really want to do what it says, right? And it gets down to attitude, doesn't it? Attitude toward God and who he is. Do we want to really honor him and respect him in our lives? If we do, we'll take his word into our hearts. We'll learn it as the psalmist did in Psalm 119. And then we're going to walk it in our lives. We're not just going to talk the talk, so to speak. We'll walk the walk. We'll do what God's word says. And there's a real lack of that, surely, in the world today. We need God's word. We need God's word for this guidance to know how to live. So the psalmist is going to keep God's testimonies. It's not just a matter of learning them, remembering them, but he's going to live them as well. He says, "I will keep your statutes," in Psalm 119 and verse 8. In verse 17, he says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word." That's the plea that he makes to God. And in verse 33 of Psalm 119, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." So over and over again, he's just saying, "I'm going to keep it, I'm going to keep it, I'm going to keep it." And he cares about whether or not others keep it as well. You know, I think there are folks that wonder, well, why do Christians all the time want to talk to others about the Bible? Why do they all the time want to talk to others about God's word or Jesus? Well, it's because we love it. It's helped our lives so much, and we want to share that with others. And the psalmist had that same spirit. He really wanted men to know and love God's law like he did. In fact, he was upset when they didn't. He says in Psalm 119 and verse 136, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." It's upsetting to Christians when you have God's word plainly revealed in God's book, and you have a world of people that just don't do what God says. That's very upsetting. And he was upset by it. He said, "I'm just crying rivers of tears." In verse 158, he says, "I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word." See, God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a perfect God. God is a loving God. And he has revealed to us his word in the scriptures. And it's only right that we should keep it, that we should do it. We need to think about who we are in light of who God is. God has given us a book to live by. Let's become familiar with it. Let's strive to do what it says in our lives. I challenge you to sign up for a Bible correspondence course. Study God's word regularly. Come worship with us at Eastside, wherever, and learn the truth of God's word. We thank you for tuning in this morning. We pray that as you live your life this week, you'll strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship.